Isaiah chapter 14. Happy Mother's Day. We can say Happy Mother's Day to our mothers in heaven too, because I think that if the angels can see what goes on in the church and in this life, in the very kingdom that they're all in, we're in the same kingdom, I can just wave to my mother and say, hello, hello, it's Sunday, where's the macaroni? Anyway, what a great day. That was great. That could have been the message. That just that alone is amazing. Isaiah chapter 49, as we think about Mother's Day, I want to read a few verses then. It's a great, great time to be here. Great time to be alive. Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 16. Father, thank you this morning and just bless our time. This service, the 11 o'clock drive-in service online at 9 and 11, tonight at 6:30. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you that you've given us the church also, which is Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. And as the church would just represent and somehow just be seen as an opportunity to fellowship with the Father and the Mother, our Father in heaven and the church. We thank you today. We thank you for the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for the lights. Isaiah 49, verse 14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. By the way, notice it. That's what Zion says. And by the way, we can say that at times. It seems like we find ourselves in situations and maybe difficulties, trials, pandemics, crisis in a family or relationship. And we can say like, you know, the Lord has what? The Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And here's what God says. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she would not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes. In other words, that could happen. Not often, but it could happen. We don't want to emphasize that. They may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have graven you upon the palms of my hand. Your walls are continually before me. That's an interesting word in the Hebrew. Like it's, I have cut you in. I've engraved you permanently on the palms of my hand, and your walls are continually before me. And when you think about mothers not forsaking and not forgetting, and if there has been that case, because I know that there are some people in situations where there's been tragic things that may have happened, but, you know, that's a little bit different than Jesus Christ, the Father, and the church, and the Spirit, and how God uses the church even to mother people. I was thinking this morning, we have 319 orphans in Uganda and in West Africa and Southern Africa, and I was thinking about those children today and how many of them are war orphans because of what took place in East Africa and different places. And the church has become their father and their mother. And I think that's amazing. And just to see how they are raised up and ministered to and loved and just cared for. And not forsaken nor forgotten. And I was thinking about my mother this morning. I loved her and still do. And I'm looking at a picture of her this morning and I almost wanted to cry, and it was amazing. Just looking at some pictures of her and realizing, I thought to myself, she made me 28,740 meals. Can you imagine that? 26 years, three times a day. We never had takeout service. We never went to, you know, we never had one of those. What do you call those meals you put in the oven? TV dinners. Oh my God, that would now. There's nothing wrong if you have that. I'm just saying that that would be out of the question for my mother, and just all that took place, and how they take care of you. You know, your clothes, washing your clothes, and cleaning, helping you to clean your room, and just being there to protect and to guide and to nurture and to help. And that's a mother. I remember one time, I don't want to really rehearse my past, but I was 13 years old and the police came to my house, knocked on the door, and then they handcuffed me in my kitchen. And they said, your son has broke into a place that has chainsaws, and he stole 3 chainsaws worth $3,000. And my mother said, that's impossible. My son would never do that. And they said, we found them in your car. They were in your trunk of your car, and he was driving your car. So not only was he illegally driving, but we found them there. She said, somebody put them there. That he, Stephen, would not do that. My son would never do that. And she went all the way to the court even. I mean, she just went from the police down to the station and even to the court and just kept insisting. That would never happen. I think the judge was so overwhelmed, he just said, give him back and let this person go home for his mother's sake. For his mother's sake. And I thought, wow, that's amazing that she just, and you know what? And she knew what happened. And she knew that it took place, but she was there and to cover. I want to read a few quotes I read this morning about people's mothers. Spurgeon said this, you are serving God, looking after your children and training them in God's life, and you have, and it's as much as leading an army to battle for the Lord of hosts. It's as much as leading an army to battle for the Lord of hosts. The greatest contribution, Stanley said, to the kingdom of God is not something you do, but someone you raise. Billy Graham said, only God himself can fully appreciate the Christian mother in the molding of her child's or children's character. C.S. Lewis said that mothers have the ultimate honor, that they exist for one purpose only, and that is to support and to oversee and to raise their children. That's the ultimate purpose with the ultimate career. Billy Sunday said, there's more power in a mother's hand than in a king's scepter. More power in a mother's hand than a king's scepter. And I thought, that's really incredible. And a mother. And you can see as we go into from Isaiah chapter 49, 14 through 16, we go into the New Testament, and we can see where Paul very clearly says to the Galatians, we understand 4:19 about my little children, I travail in birth till Christ be formed in you, and that's the heart of a father. But he said Jerusalem is the mother of you all. And thinking about the church and the role the church has in the lives of believers. And then I love 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 in particular. It's Paul just really building up and edifying Lois and Eunice. He says, I saw the unfeigned faith that is in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in you also. I think that's incredible, isn't it? You don't hear much mention of Timothy's father. It just says his father was a Greek in Acts 16, 2 and 3. But it talks about his grandmother and his mother, how they just raised him up. They had unfeigned faith. That's a faith that was not hypocritical at all, a faith that was genuine, a faith that was real, a faith in God. And so here is the grandmother raising the mother and the mother raising Timothy. And we know what a great man of God Timothy became, and it really has so much to do with his grandmother and his mother. And to me, like when I think about that, and I think about, we think about these men of God through the Bible, but really do we ever have a mention of somebody's mother? Like we did see something about Moses' mother, And we have, well, who was Abraham's mother? And we certainly know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they talk about those three men as really the cornerstone of faith and the nation of Israel. But you think about the women. By the way, all three of them had barren wives, which I think is very interesting. Every one of them was barren. Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, all barren. And yet God comes through. God comes through, and they become great mothers of the living, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were like fathers of those of us that are here today. So godly mothers, spiritual mothers, the importance of spiritual mothers in our lives. And I like what happened in the marriage at Canaan. Jesus is there, and his mother's there, and he tells them to fill up these water pots with water, and he's going to turn them into wine. And she, I love the statement that she made. This is why she was such a great mother. I know some people go overboard with the mother of Jesus Christ in a certain way, but really she was a great mother and a great woman of God. And she said in John chapter 2, verse 5, whatsoever he says, do it. Wow, that's a great statement for a mother, that she listens to what God says and she's going to do it. I read this morning that John Wesley's mother was the 25th child in her family. She was child number. Can you imagine having 25 children? Yes, there were two wives at different times. 25 children. And then she had 19. Susanna Wesley, there was 19 children. I think, Pastor Steve, if not correct, 10 of them died. 10 of them passed, or 9 of them passed. But raising those children. I once did a wedding in a Uganda village. And there was a man who had been married culturally and legally, even in the country of Uganda with the government. But he wanted a church marriage. And at the marriage were all 17 of his children. She had 17 children. And I just remember that was one of the most outstanding marriages I was ever at in my life. By the way, we killed a huge cow. The cow fed the entire village. And just to see the 17 children standing next to their parents and looking at Mrs. Sampala and saying, wow, 17 children she had. And this was incredible. By the way, they're still with us today in the ministry. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. Godly mothers, godly mothers. I want to give us a number of principles about godly mothers. First one, number one, is they love us unconditionally and sacrificially. There's an unconditional love. Hey, my son would never do that. You know, that's a love that's sacrificial and unconditional. She would never believe a lie. Now somebody might say, well, maybe she should have understood some things that were true and maybe things would have been different. No. A mother has an unconditional, unending, sacrificial love. This is so important. And by the way, this is the same principle that we should find in the church, which is the mother of us all in one aspect. I know Jerusalem and Israel, but the church, that in a church, there's an opportunity and there's a great potential of having an unconditional, unending, sacrificial love that takes place. What a difference that makes in children, to be loved unconditionally. And certainly at that time, I can't say that maybe my mom was a spiritual person in regards to how we see things today. She did get saved and everything, but there was something about the love that she had, an unconditional, unending, sacrificial love. One time I said to her, you know, I'm amazed when I think about women today. Like, people are working, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. People are working all the time. Mothers are working. I said, did you ever work one day in your life? She took me by the ear, and I think I was 30 years old, and she walked me to the mirror, and she said, look in the mirror and then ask me whether I ever worked. I got her point. She goes, you and your brother were my work. You know what? I think it's amazing. I said to her when she was on her last day, I said, what an amazing, sanctified, incredible womb you have, because out of your womb came two sons who both became pastors. One went to China and one went to Africa. She looked at me, she goes, shut up. I don't like to hear that word womb. She just didn't want to hear anything like that at all. But there was an incredible, unending, unconditional. Mothers have that kind of love. Now, I mean, I love my father, and he was a great father, but when things happen that would have caused conditions to separate our thinking and our lives, and maybe my behavior wasn't so much the case. One time, my father told me I couldn't go out for 90 days straight. June, July, and August, I had to stay in the house. Not going out. I'm not going to tell you what was going on. I was young and doing some dumb things. He says, you are not to leave the whole summer. You're in the house. You can hear your friends playing outside. They're all on the streets. You know, that's when people used to play in the streets and have fun on the streets. And we would go from house to house, eat at different people's houses all the time. And every single day when he would leave to go to work or go to do whatever he was doing, my mother said, go out the window. I put a huge rope on the porch, and you can go down the rope, and that's how you come, and that's how you go. Her love was incredible. She says, I can't have him sitting in here all day. And by the way, there were no air conditioners then. In the hot summer, sitting in a room without an air conditioner. And her love was unconditional. And she was willing to even sacrifice the fact that my father might have figured this whole thing out and done something in regards to her. And it never happened. I did that for 90 days, down the rope, up the rope, down the porch, up the porch, in and out, just always making it in time before he got home. Her love was what? Unconditional and unending and sacrificial. And that's what mothers are all about. Somebody said in a quote I read, I don't know where I got it from, but they said if you had to pay a mother for what she does, you would have to give her $262,000 a year. That's a lot of money, isn't it? $262,000. I don't even know what I think the president makes $200,000. Huh? $400,000? I don't know. But it's amazing to have to pay a mother for what they do. And we're not even talking about some of all the wisdom that comes out and what takes place. And our mothers. My mother was still mothering me when she was 93. One time I went to the hospital and she said to me, what's the temperature in the house? I said, I set it at 72. She said, it's supposed to be 70. Go home now and change the thermometer. I said, what is the difference? 1 or 2 degrees? She goes, that could be $20 to $30 a week or a month more. Go home and set the temperature right. Yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. And then I drove home and came back, and she said, did you set it correctly this time? I said, yes. And she goes, good boy. Good boy. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. She's still telling me what to do, you know? And what's going on? It was amazing. She had a sacrificial, unending, unconditional love. And that's what mothers are all about. That's what Mary, the mother of Jesus, had. Oh, it's incredible. That's what John the Baptist's mother had, an unconditional love. That's what the church should be all about, an unconditional, unending, sacrificial love. Because it's like the mother. There's the Father in heaven, and there's the church, the mother. And I think it's really amazing how it kind of goes together. Unconditional, unending, and sacrificial. Doing whatever has to be done to make things work. And there are so many hardworking mothers today. Well, and I can't imagine how maybe they would go, some would prepare everything in the morning for the children to go to school, then go to work, and then come back and make supper. And I guess I could see why people would have TV dinner sometimes, you know. I guess that's okay then, in that case. And then up late at night and then just thinking whatnot. So a loving that is unconditional and unending. Number two. That a mother has a gracious care and concern for her children, even in the details of life, every little detail. There's a great care and concern. I mean, as far as I would be as a father sometimes, I look at my wife and I think like, Why are you so concerned about that? And it's every little thing she is carefully and graciously concerned about, every little detail that goes on, what's taking place. I said to her today, what a great day for you to go out to eat. She says, nothing's open. I said, oh. I said, well, they could buy something and they could bring it to the house for Mother's Day, and that would be awesome. Wouldn't that be amazing? She says, no, I'm putting something in, and I said, you're going to cook on Mother's Day? Yes, because what they bring in will never taste like what I make. She's concerned about what they're eating, not about whether it's Mother's Day and you can get get something that comes in. By the way, I had something that somebody brought to me the other day, and it was like, wow, is this what they're giving out at restaurants? Maybe by the time it got there, it was cold and hard. I don't know what's going on. But a gracious care and concern about details in life. Here's where 1 Peter 5:7 comes in. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is where Philippians 4:6 comes in. Be anxious or have no anxiety over anything. This is where Psalm 37:1-8 come in. Fret not. Don't fret. And by the way, I was looking at that verse the other day. Do you know that in Psalm 37, I think it's 17 times the word wicked is used. Wicked. And don't fret. And mothers being very peaceful, a place of rest where you can come to. A gracious care and concern for our lives. Next, the third thing I was thinking about with mothers is faithful. Just faithful. Carrying me for 9 months. Then the birth. Daddy doesn't go through the birth pain, correct? Daddy doesn't go through the birth pain. He's standing there watching it. I didn't even want to go in when my kids were born. I was like, oh my God, no. You know? And carrying the child for 9 months. And by the way, the first voice that the child hears is what voice? The mother's voice. The mother's voice. Carrying that child, then birthing the child, and then taking care of the child in the infancy, and the diaper changes, and all that takes place, and feeding, and the diapers, and all this. And I can't even imagine. There's one child. Can you imagine having 17? Can you imagine what that would be like? How in God's name would you ever, because they didn't have Pampers in Wesley's day. That means she's going to be doing a lot of cleaning and washing and soap and all that. And so they take care. There's a gracious care and concern. And then there's the faithfulness from the time the child is born and the early days and then into the preteens and the teens and then even on and on it goes. All those years, and being faithful right to the end. Where is Jesus' mother when he's crucified? Right at the cross. She's right there. Where is she in Acts 1? She's with the church. There was an amazing faithfulness. Mothers have an amazing faithfulness. And by the way, if there are some of these principles and characteristics I'm talking about, and maybe you say, well, that's not me, we can grow. Amen? We can grow into that. We can say it just could be a seed, something very small, but that can grow and year after year and before you know it. Wow, maturity sets in. These are objectives that we have in God's character and nature, and God himself brings us there. This is not a work of man. This is a work of God. Faithfulness. Here's another one, another great principle of a mother. Always forgiving and merciful. Wow. No matter what we say, no matter what we've done, always merciful and forgiving. My mother said to me one time, is it true? It wouldn't be true, would it, that you sell narcotics from my house? I said, Ma, me? Why would I ever do that? She says, and if you're doing that, I forgive you. And it's okay. Mercy, mercy, every time. You know, my brother was a saint, all right? I was the person that she was always dealing with all the time, constantly, day in and day out. When I was 4 years old, I took my dog to school. I got to school, and they said it was like a preschool thing. You can't bring a dog in here. I had to bring the dog all the way back home, and then somebody went with me from the school, and oh, he just loves his dog. I know that was wrong what he did, but you know, he just loves his dog and took the dog with him, you know, to school and all that. She was always so merciful and forgiving, and that's how mothers are. They can see one thing after another in children's lives and in people's lives where they need mercy and they need forgiveness. It can happen day in and day out, all day long, but a mother's heart is so merciful and forgiving. And this ought to be the heart of the church. The church has to be a place where people find mercy and forgiveness. Just like they find love and they find the gracious care and concern, they find faithfulness, they find God's mercy, that they can come to a place where they're forgiven, that you know you can go to your mother and your mother is going to forgive you. It's incredible. Mercy and forgiveness. And then one of the last things here I thought about today about mothers is they're always there to strengthen and encourage us and to build us. My mother said to me one time, she heard me preach, and then she was there when I got ordained by Pastor Stevens. She said, "Wow, I heard you speak." She goes, "I got all your messages. You're a great preacher." She was encouraging me. Sometimes I would speak a message and it just didn't come out right. We've had those things happen. Nothing seemed to work right. She goes, I said, "I don't know about that message. What do you think, Ma?" She goes, "That was awesome. That was great." Always, always encouraging. "You can do this. You can do this. You can walk with God. This is going to work. You're going to raise your family." And maybe sometimes I would think there was so much time involved with the ministry that you really would like to have given a little bit more time in your family and whatnot, and yet there to encourage and strengthen. This is a mother. This is what a mother does, an unconditional love, a gracious concern, a faithful and believing the best life, a mercy, a strengthening and an encouraging and building. This is the heart of a mother. This is the mother's life. This is why the church should take its great example from this and not be like these barren women who eventually had children, but really be a church filled with the heart of God, which is the heart of a mother, the heart of a mother. This is amazing, so incredible. And as we go forward in life, and we can see it. I was looking at a picture of just my mother and my wife and my daughter and all the mothers. One picture with all these mothers, and I thought, this is incredible. We have a heritage. He said it in 2 Timothy 1:5. There's the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. While they raised a man of God that made a great difference in the church and in Christianity, and his name was Timothy. There are so many opportunities to raise Timothys. Sometimes you'll say, like, what happened to Dad? Where was Dad? Was Dad an unbeliever? Was he ever around? What took place? Did he go away? Like I was reading how Susanna Wesley, and then the jailing and the poverty, and one time gone, the husband has gone for one whole year straight, and she's got to raise all these children herself, and she doesn't complain, doesn't take it out against her husband, but just believes that this is what God has done. And I was shocked when I read how she taught all of them at least 30 minutes a day apart from the others. This is incredible. This is incredible. It's not something that I'm going to try to live up to. It's something that I believe that God has given. And God has given it by his grace. And he gave it to her, and he'll give it. You say, "I don't know. What do I know about mothering? You know, maybe there's a brand new mother or somebody is pregnant." And guess what? Everybody starts that way. But you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there to take you through. To take you through having the child and raising the child. Because this is greater. We heard raising a child with Christian character is a greater accomplishment than going forward as a general in an army. Wow. Thank you, mothers, for being who you are. Continue to go forward. And by the way, never receive the accusation of the world through Satan, where he would just minimize what a mother is all about. "Oh, you're just a mother." I heard somebody say that one time. "What do you do for a living?" "Oh, I'm a mother." "Oh, that's really? You do anything else?" And like this whole world system, which is fueled by Satan, would love to bring down the thought pattern about mothers and how God sees mothers as being valuable and precious and absolutely, without a doubt, responsible for raising godly men and godly women. The enemy wants to minimize that. The world wants to evaluate it and have us think a different way. We can see all kinds of things that are going on where you've got people that are married that are of the same sex. What happens to motherhood and all of that? It's incredible. It's a lie and it's deception. And we know that God says something awesome and great about mothers. Thank you, God, for giving us godly mothers. And thank you, mothers, for reflecting the very image of who God is in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you today. Thank you that the church, the mother and the church, Jerusalem is the mother of us all. The love that's unconditional and unending. The gracious care and concern. The faithfulness, the mercy, the encouraging and building and strengthening. These are all what we should find in a church. And these are all what a godly mother is all about. And this is where this is the goal. This is where we're going. This is where mothers can say, this is where I'm going. God is going to give me his love so I can love unconditionally. His care and concern for me will produce that in my life. His faithfulness will make me faithful. His mercy will make me a person that forgives, and his encouragement will help me to build others. We thank you today. We thank you so much for godly mothers. Thank you. Thank you. If you're out there today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have a father and a mother, you're orphaned. But that can change in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye, in a second. You can say, Jesus, save me. And when Jesus saves you by his blood and you are born again, now you have a father and you can have a mother. A father and a mother. Saying yes to Jesus himself. It's all it takes. It's not baptism. It's not joining a church. It's not paying money or dues. It's not doing something to make you spiritual. But it's by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, being born again. You can pray that prayer. You can make that decision today. Let us know if you've made a decision like that. And we thank you. Bless all the mothers today, God. May it be a great and special day in their lives today. And may it not just be a Mother's Day, make it a Mother's Month and a Mother's Year and a Mother's Life. And we thank you in Jesus' name as we honor them. In his name we pray, amen.